Morning, everybody. So I was just thinking about that as like as we're giving our offerings to the Lord, it's like it's absolutely a part of our worship. And man, worship can go from 100 mile an hour to, you know, that 30 mile an hour going through the school zone, but it is still us giving our hearts to Jesus. It's still us lifting ourselves up to the Lord and bringing ourselves before the cross and saying, God, I want to see you. God, I want to hear from you today. And so if you're a guest with us, we want to welcome you, especially if you're a first-time guest with us. We want to encourage you at the end of the service, make sure you come out to our welcome area, our hospitality area. If you fill out some information, they'll get you some free gifts and things like that. We want to welcome Pastor back. He was able to join us up here on the platform. He's like, loves being in the band, but they're back from vacation. So yeah, give an applause for Pastor and welcome back. And but yeah, it's like they got away. They got to their happy place, right? That's what Don calls it all the time up in Maine. And then it's like next week, and we got some family here today. So we're going to all be together in the Berkshires next week. So we'll leave on the 20th. And so Ari's clapping because we're looking forward to that. So the message this morning is, what do you see? And it's funny because I was thinking about, you know, what to talk about, and I've spoken on vision, and there's actually a quote that I'm going to use again that I've used in the past. But I was thinking about the idea of being observant, okay? What do you see, okay? And it was funny because, I mean, how many of you left early enough this morning that you caught the fog? How many of you were up early enough you saw the fog, okay? So it's crazy because we're on the way to church this morning. And it's like, you know, you're driving along, and then all of a sudden, you know, I don't remember what road it was, but one of the back roads coming in from the highway. And, you know, off to the left, you see this fog across the yard, across the field, and you see a few turkey. You know, there's just a few. Like, you see the shadows, right, of the turkey in the fog. You just barely see them. And it was crazy because it was like, oh, there's a few turkey. And then it's like the closer we got, then the fog, you know, it's like the closer you get to something, you know, the fog dissipates. It's still there, but you know what I mean? You can see a little bit clearer. And Sarah's like, you know, it's a whole family of them because there must have been at least a dozen. There was, you know, at least 8 to 10, maybe 12, whatever. So, but I noticed it well in advance of being able to have that fog cleared and see all of them. You know, it's like I saw a few, but I didn't see all of them, okay? Well, I love things like this. How many of you love optical illusions? You know, do you remember those, like, C&I, the eye things, like, where you stare into it, and if you stare a certain way, then, like, a picture will jump out at you? It's like, or, you know, you see a picture, and it's like, if you're colorblind, you won't see anything, right? But if you're not colorblind, like a number will stick out at you or whatever, you know? It's like, you know, so what do you see? So you look at like even that title screen there, it's like, you know, what do you see? And it's like, you know, you can see some animals there. Like how many of you see the monkey hanging? How many of you see that, okay? But how many of you see the cat, the cougar or whatever it is there? Okay. So the idea is it's funny how like sometimes pictures are there and it's like, what do you see, okay? So I got a few pictures for you to try out this morning, okay? Some optical illusions. All right, so a few things here. All right, let's go to that first pic that I pulled up, okay? Now, how many of you, when you first see this, you see a vase or a candlestick holder? First thing you see. All right, how many of you see the faces first? Okay, all right. How many of you saw both instantly? All right. And many of us have seen that one before, right? Okay, all right, how about this next one, okay? This next one, okay, how many of you see an elderly lady, okay, with like a wart on her nose and a big nose and, you know, kind of hunched over? How many of you see the older lady, okay? How many of you see the young lady with her head turned to the side and she's looking backwards, okay? You know, look all with a big hat, flowy hat and everything, okay? So young lady, all right? So, and I think it's literally called the young or old woman. I think that's the name of that picture, okay? All right, the next one. How many of you see good? How many of you see evil? Wow, you guys can just leave right now. No, actually, no, you need to be here. You need to be here because, you know. But the idea is it's like sometimes things can play tricks on us, things that we see. So I was thinking about, it's like, what do you see? And then I was thinking about how observant I tend to be. And it's crazy sometimes just noticing a turkey out of the blue, you know. Sarah and I, we go on road trips. And Ari knows it, but, you know, it's like we go on these road trips, and I will see deer miles away off in a field, right along the edge of the, you know, the corn, or right along the edge of the woods or something like that. Like, oh, look at those deer. Where? And they don't see them. But if there's a dead deer along the highway, Sarah will see it, you know? So it's like, so we always say, I see the live ones and she sees the dead ones, okay? And it's not from, what is the movie, Sixth Sense or anything like that. It's just she literally sees the dead carcass on the side of the road. But it's one of those things where it's like, I see things and I notice things, okay? And sometimes when it comes to people, I see things and I notice things. And I think sometimes God gives us that, like, discernment, and you see things. But so this past week, I was noticing just how observant I tend to be. Especially I was preparing for the message, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really am observant with things. So in Target, there was a lady, and she was at her vehicle. I just pulled up. I got out of my car, and I noticed the lady had one of those children's carts. You know what I'm talking about. It looks like a car, and then there's a cart in front of it. And so, you know, it was one of those things, and I saw you shaking your head no, like you don't like those things, or whatever the case may be. See how observant I am? So, but the idea is, it's like, you know, this lady's returning this cart, but where she has this cart, and she's at the back of her SUV, the car's running, and she's got this cart, and I can see the groceries are loaded, and she is like a mile, like, you know, from here to the other end of the building away from a cart return. Well, I'm heading in. Now, what I saw was the look on her face. Was like, wait, what do I do? And it was like, do I leave my kid in the car running and return this cart? And that's what she was going to do. I honestly believe that it was in her head to go ahead and return the cart. Like, shut the door, maybe lock it or something with it. You know, you get the remote entries and all that stuff. And it was like, it was just this look, and I spoke up and I said, hey, do you want me to grab that cart for you? Now, obviously, I don't need that cart. I don't have a toddler running around. I'm not trying to wrangle some little kid in a cart. So I just grabbed the cart. She said, oh, yeah, thank you so much. She's like, I was like, you know, I couldn't find a spot closer to a cart return. This is the closest spot. And she's like, and after I got there, I was like, you know what? I should have kept the kid and brought it back. And she had this whole little thing that she was like, I should have done this. And it was funny because I was like, no problem at all. And I grabbed the cart and I took it back to the car, returned and walked on in. It was on my way. It's no big deal. But you notice things. There was an elderly lady at Costco, and kind of the same kind of thing. You know, she had gotten her cart back, and you know, she finished putting the groceries in, and the last thing was kind of heavy. And so I could see it was a big box of stuff down in the bottom. And so I helped her lift it out and then say, hey, and I can take your cart back for you if you need me to. And oh, yeah, thank you. And I didn't even need a cart that day. I was going for, like, milk, you know, something like one thing. I'm one of those random people that are rare people that goes to Costco and spends, like, $4, you know. It's like, I can do it. Ask my wife. I can do it. And then I wait in your line, you know, behind all of you guys spending $400, and I got to wait because there's not an actual, you know, short line at Costco. But, you know, so I helped her out because I saw, again, it was this look of like, you know what, this is heavy, and how am I going to get this thing out of my cart? And then, oh, thank you for returning the cart. The next one is a story of me being observant, and it's funny that this happens more often than not. So I'm kind of tall. So I'm about 6'3". My wife is under 5'3". So she's like 5'2¼" or something like that. So, but the idea is that she's short. So I couldn't tell you the number of times in our household it's, I need your tallness, okay? So I'm at Target. Now, I'm bending down, getting cans of vegetables or, you know, food or whatever off the shelf and grabbing stuff. And I look to my left as I'm putting stuff back in the cart, and I see a girl, you know, probably, you know, 20s or 30s, and she's down the aisle, and she's about my wife's height, maybe even shorter. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it's possible that there are people, you know, shorter than Sarah, Jolene. So, no, I'm just so, but the idea is that I'm sitting there, and I'm grabbing the food, I'm putting it in the cart, and I look to the left, and again, observant, seeing something. And she's sitting there with a grabbing tool that she got from the kids' area. And she's trying to grab something from the top shelf. And it's the last two bags, and it's all the way pushed back on the top shelf. He's like, do you need help with that? I call down the aisle. Do you need help with getting something? She's like, she laughs. She's like, yes. She's like, and I said, listen, I do it all the time. Said, usually it's little, you know, elderly ladies that are in the grocery store. Can you please reach this for me? And they'll ask outright. But, you know, the young woman, it's like she didn't want to ask me for help, but it was like one of those things. She was trying to do it herself. But it was hilarious to me because it's like she actually had found a grabber tool and still couldn't reach it. And so I went down the aisle, helped her grab it, and then pulled the other one up to the front just so the next person could get it. Meanwhile, this is how OCD and how, like, observant I am. While I'm getting my product off the shelf, I realize that it's in the wrong spot. And so I literally reshelved an entire stock of, you know, mini ravioli because it was in the wrong spot. And if you know me, you know that's absolutely me. All right. So what I'm trying to say is that I see things. Okay? And I don't see dead animals, okay? But I see things, all right? And so the thing that I notice a lot of times are people, whether it's people in need, whether it's people I know. I mean, a lot of times I run into you guys at the stores, you know? It's like there's some people that I literally always run into at Target or Costco, you know? It's like certain people, I always see you. Okay, yes, okay. So the idea is, but it's people. It's paying attention and seeing what's around you. And so I want to look at a passage this morning, and I want to share a few thoughts on what do you see. In Luke chapter 18, that's where we'll open up this morning. In Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43, it says this. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, there was a blind man. Can't see. He's a blind man, sitting by the roadside when he was begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, it's Jesus of Nazareth, and he's passing by. So he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way, they rebuked him. They told him, hey, shh, quiet. Like, seriously, stop, quiet. They rebuked him. They tried to get him to be quiet. And instead, he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. And I just love that. I'm going to get to that point in a second, but I got to share. It's like Jesus stopped. You know, it's like that woman with the grocery cart, Jesus stopped. That person on the side of the road that needs help, Jesus stopped. It's like the lady in the grocery store needs help reaching something. Jesus stopped. You, when you're going through the worst struggle in your life, Jesus will stop. Because that's what he does, because he loves us. Jesus stopped. And then he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you need? What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I just want to see. Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus and he was praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. So, what do you see? Now we're going to do a little game to see how observant you are. Everybody looking directly at me. Nobody looking around. You got to look directly at me for this to work, okay? All right? We're going to count the number of windows, and do not dare look to your right or left right now, all right? But we're going to count the windows in the room, and we're going to include, because I know out of your peripheral vision, you're wondering whether or not the door counts. And so, yes, that window over there counts, all right? All right, and we'll count the stained glass window because that used to be a window too. So we'll count that one too, okay? How many of you think there are five windows in the building? Raise your hand. In this room, sorry. Thank you. Good catch there. You're so observant. How many of you think there are six windows in the room? Raise your hand. How many of you think there are seven windows in the room? Raise your hand. How many of you think there are eight windows in the room? Raise your hand. How many of you think there are nine windows in the room? Raise your hand. How many of you think there are 10 windows in the room? Raise your hand. Anybody more than 10? Okay. I'd be curious where you get your 10. All right. So if you count the two in the door, I know. I'm just going to tell you how it is. If you count the two in the door, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That already started there. So there are 9 in the room. Now, I wasn't counting the two in the door, so I was thinking 7. And I was thinking 7 because, you know, 7's a good number. And 7's also the number of points I'm going to go through in a little while. So we're not going to count the two in the door. All right. But the idea is that it's amazing how sometimes we're not that observant, right? Sometimes we pick up things, and sometimes you may have thought, hey, there's 3 on that wall. That must mean there's 3 on that wall. Well, there is as long as you count the door, right? And so the idea is how things are balanced. And then, yeah, and then if you break this off into individual windows, then you really mess with the number. All right, but here's where I'm going with this, okay? What do you see? Do you notice things? Do you see things? Do you see what God wants you to see, okay? I need a volunteer. And to talk, actually, 2 volunteers, okay? I will pick the 2 of them since they're up front. I know I have Danielle back there, and I was like, I know, I got these 2 up here. All right, so here's what I want you to do, okay? This is how observant I am, okay? I was going to come in this morning, and I was going to grab a piece of paper and cut a hole in the middle. But back there in our sound booth area, in the closet, was this random piece of cardboard, and it already has a hole in it. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. It's like God absolutely provided one for me that I didn't, it's a perfect hole. It's exactly what I was looking for from illustration. And God said, you know what? Here it is, right here. It's right here for you. But you got to see those things to see when God shows up sometimes. Isn't it crazy how God does that sometimes? You know, just the little things that sometimes show up, okay? All right, here's what I want you 2 to do. I want you to stand up here. Come up here. All right. Now, 1 stand over here. And 1 stand over here, all right? Now, looking through this hole, okay, how much do you see of Ari? And how much do you see of her?
I see her forehead.
Okay, how much do you see?
I see a little bit of her forehead and some of her hair.
All right. Now, how much do you see now?
Her glasses, forehead, and hair.
Okay. How much do you see now?
Her eyes and her eyebrows and her hair and her head.
Okay. How much do you see now?
Her entire face and a little bit of her blue shirt.
Okay. How much do you see now?
Her entire face and her neck.
All right. Now put it right up to your eye. Put it. You do it. Put it right up to your eye. Now, how much do you see now?
Everything.
And how much do you see now? Put it right up to your eye. Okay, and then you guys can go sit down. How about a hand for them? All right. The closer we get to God, the more we'll see everything He wants us to see. The closer we get to God, the more we'll see everything He wants us to see. Sometimes we need to see some things inside our own lives. Sometimes we need to open up our hearts, open up our eyes, open up our minds, open up our lives to what God sees. But until we get closer to God, we're only going to see a piece of what He wants us to see. We need to get so close to God that they call it the knothole effect. They call it the knothole effect, that when you get so close to something, now I can see all of you, and I can see every aspect of what God's trying to show me. So there's verses, and it's in Matthew 13, and I'm not going to have it up on the screen here, but there's verses I want to share this morning. In Matthew 13, I want you to listen to these verses, okay? In Matthew 13, 10 through 17, it says, "The disciples came to Him, and they asked Jesus, 'Why do you speak to people in parables? Why do you use object lessons? Why do you use these stories to try to teach us something? Why do you use parables?' And Jesus said, 'Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not necessarily to everybody. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. But this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear or understand. In them it's fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and in turn, I would heal them. See, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear, for truly I tell you that many of the prophets and righteous people, they long to see what you see, but they didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. And you realize that Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's telling them, listen, you guys have heard the message. You guys have seen me perform miracles and you followed me. You responded to what you saw. You responded to what you heard. And how many of us, sometimes as Christians, we know the truth. We hear the truth. We know what Scripture teaches. We know what the Bible tells us to do. When we have our problems, confess your faults one to another. If we sin, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know Scripture. We can be confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until Jesus Christ comes again. But the idea is sometimes we try looking at our problems and God and everything of God like this. And the idea is that we fail to come in close to God and have an honest look at ourselves and the things around us the way God wants us to see it. And so the idea here is that we see, but we're not really seeing the way God is wanting us to see. So here's some things, and there's seven of them. Like I said, I counted seven windows, not nine. Forgive me. But here's seven things we need to see, okay? You can write these down in your bulletin. It's not going to come up here on the screen. It's just thoughts that came to my mind as I was preparing for the message, and I wanted to share these seven thoughts with you. And the first one is we need to see Jesus for who he is. Like the blind man, he is begging, and he hears Jesus of Nazareth is coming through, and Jesus says, your faith has healed you. See, we need to see Jesus for who he is, that he is the Son of God, that he came some 2,000 years ago, that he died on the cross for our sins, that the whole reason we come to church, when we sing about reckless love, we sing those things because Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves me. Even the story of Zacchaeus, you got a little man up in a tree, he was a tax collector, he was all the things that you would think that Jesus wouldn't want, and yet he got up in the tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And so Jesus called out to him, and like the blind man, Jesus ordered him to come to him, and Jesus healed the blind man because he loves us. Because God is a God of love, and Jesus, his Son, came in the flesh. And the word Emmanuel, what we call Jesus, when he was born in the manger, and he came, and then he died. And it's like, but that whole process was God coming in the flesh. And it's like, I've used this illustration, because when I do Starting Point, a lot of times we have people that come into the Starting Point, and they don't necessarily know what it means to be saved. That maybe they've come to church because of a difficult time in their lives, and maybe it's one of those things that they thought that just coming to church would make it so that I would know someday I'm going to be in heaven. Or maybe baptism is the way that you get to heaven. Or maybe good works, you know, making sure you do lots of good stuff. You know, I'm sorry, but coming and working on a work day, coming and giving money and offerings to a church, coming and doing anything for the church doesn't save you. Getting baptized doesn't save you. Jesus alone is who saves. And the illustration that I use to illustrate who Jesus is And to understand who Jesus is, if I want to see Jesus for who he is, I have to understand that he is God in the flesh. And so I use this illustration of an egg, and I know I've used this before, but if you're new with us and you've never heard this, I want you to write this down in the back of your mind and don't ever forget it. That God is like an egg. When I look at an egg, if I had an egg and I'm holding one up in front of me right now, you're seeing one egg, right? It is God. One egg is God, okay? But what are you looking at? What are the parts of an egg? How many parts are there to an egg? I'm going to give you a hint. All right. What are the three parts of an egg? Egg shell. That's what you're seeing, right? What else is there? Egg yolk, and I heard egg white, okay? So there's three parts to an egg. When you look at an egg, if I tell you there's one egg, does someone name another part? What else is there? Oh, that'll be included in the egg yolk, all right? So, but the idea is that yolk and that membrane is included in the same thing. But here's the deal, okay? Listen, here's the deal. That egg shell is all you see when you talk about an egg, right? Until it's broke open. What part becomes flesh? The egg yolk. The egg yolk is what becomes the chicken, right? So the idea is Jesus is that which became flesh. It's absolutely the part of the Godhead, the part of the egg, the part of God that is seen when you look at an egg. It's one God. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And how do we say we believe in one God when we talk about three persons? Because it is one God exists in three persons, and that they come together to form that what we talk about when we say God. But oftentimes when we talk about God, we're just thinking of God the Father, right, in heaven. But when we talk about Jesus, it's God the Son who came in the flesh, and in the Holy Spirit is that which surrounds and encompasses everything that we think of when the Spirit nourishes us and ministers to us and does all that that does. And that Spirit is like the egg white. And so the idea is that we need to see Jesus for who he is, okay? Number two, we need to see God's salvation. So the first thing in my mind we need to see is Jesus for who he is. And the second thing is God's salvation. See, for me, and it's one of those things that as a pastor, and I'm sure Pastor feels the same way, it's like our most important mission, vision, goal, the ultimate sacrifice is to lay down so that people might come to be saved. So that people might come to know in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ themselves. So that ultimately that we have a ministry where people are getting saved. See, it's like as a church, we want to be reaching out to other people that are unchurched, that are unsaved, reaching out to our friends, our families, our neighbors, because the most important thing that we need to see is God's salvation. And sometimes, as Christians, we need to see God's salvation. We need to understand that when we got saved, what that entails, what it is that God gave us, what it is that God loves us, that hope that we have is not just a momentary thing. Like, salvation is in a moment. When we trust and believe by faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried and that he rose again, the Bible says those that call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. But when it comes to our salvation, then the question is, are we working out our salvation? And what I mean by that is, are we seeing salvation for what it is? That hope is not just for that moment. Like, okay, well, good. Now I know someday I'm going to be in heaven. But I am absolutely defeated in every other area of my life. See, salvation is something where we may go through defeats and we may go through struggles. But God has given us a new life. He has given us a new spirit. He has given us an opportunity to have hope because we have hope in him. And our hope in him is not just for salvation. Our hope in him is for our life. And so the idea is that through our lives, we need to work out that salvation. And so seeing God's salvation and seeing people get saved and seeing that hope in our own lives so that each and every day of our lives, salvation is real to us. That it's something that we don't forget. Sometimes I feel like as Christians, when we go through struggles, I've shared this in small groups that I've been in the past and stuff like that. It's like that you ever go through dry times? You ever feel like you're just kind of like the world around you, life around you is beating down on you, like you're out in the middle of a desert and everything is just hot. Like you and you kind of equate hell with hot. You know, it's like, you know, that's the bad place and that's, you know, it's hot and it's burning. And so you just, life just feels so oppressive and you feel so down and you feel so discouraged and defeated that you just feel like you're wandering around in a desert and there's nothing to quench that thirst. There is nothing that takes the relief or the pain of what is scorching in your life, and there's, you feel like you're just alone, isolated in the middle of a desert. And when you go through those dry times, the question is, what do you see? And I go through these times when it's like I have to remember that I need to see God's salvation. That God saved me. And then I think of those things after that. I think of those verses like Philippians 1:6 I shared a minute ago. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's like, but I have to draw upon Scripture. And so again, I need to get myself close to God and his word so that I can pull from those verses, so I can pull from those words of encouragement, so I can see salvation working out in my life, so that even when I go through the worst of times and I'm in the middle of a desert and I'm struggling, then I still see God's salvation. Because I know he saved me and that Holy Spirit is living within me and that he can work in me. And sometimes, in the middle of the desert, all I got is peace. I still feel thirsty. I still feel hot. I still feel the sun beating down on me. There's still problems, but God is going to get me through that because I'm looking at and seeing God's salvation. Luke 3:6, it says, all people, one day all people will see God's salvation. And that was John the Baptist, and he's sitting there, and he's quoting that Jesus is coming. And he's the forerunner. He's the one that's prophesying. He's the one telling people, listen, you know, I'm telling you about the days of old. I'm telling you about the coming Messiah. I'm telling you about all these things. And then when Jesus shows up on the scene, John the Baptist says, and here is your salvation. Jesus is God's salvation. So number two, God's salvation. Number three, the thing we need to see, that Jesus can heal. See, what do you see? You see Jesus. You see God's salvation. But that blind man realized that, listen, all I got to do, like, I just need Jesus. I just need Jesus. I just need Jesus. And that blind man was brought to Jesus, and Jesus says, listen, your faith has made you whole. Receive your sight. And he received his sight like that. See, Jesus can heal. Now, we know that there are those that have gone before us. And it's one of those things where you ask a question like, well, why does he not heal in these situations? Why does this person die and that person doesn't? And it's like when I went through that message on the skeptic, and it's like a lot of times people use those. In fact, the devil uses those times when, why does, you know, we just had September 11th. And coming through that commemoration, it was one of those things where we read some articles on some things, and it's humbling, the people that suffered so much loss on September 11th. And as a country, as a culture, we felt loss on that day. But there are families that their loved ones were vaporized, that the DNA evidence that's all gathered together in a room somewhere buried beneath that 9/11 museum, the museum that's there for you to tour, that there is a room of all of the remains that were never able to be categorized, that were never able to be put to an identification. And they say they look through this window, kind of like the window of the doors out there, and they say it's like, I think it was like a 4-foot by 4-foot window or whatever. And all it is these rows of cabinets, you know. And it's full of people. but it couldn't be identified. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you see suffering, you see loss, and it's like, and then you ask the question, it's like, why does that have to happen? And you know, and then I had an illustration that a preacher shared one time with me that it's like, you know, we wonder why planes crash or these bad things happen, but it's like the same law of gravity that brings a plane to a ground is the same law of gravity that holds all of us to the ground so that we don't float off into space and die without oxygen. So God created that which was good. And through the curse of sin, we have the issues and the problems and the things that a lot of times people blame God for. I mean, we'll attribute a lot of things to God, and we hold God accountable for all these ills and all the problems and all the physical deformities, all the disease, you know, and the deaths. But sometimes those problems are because of us, because of our sin nature, because of our problems. And sometimes they're because of nature. Sometimes there becomes the natural process. Pastor, I think you shared it last week, the law of entropy or whatever, that idea that everything declines, everything degrades. And it's like, you know, that law of gravity, that law of entropy, all those things were intended for good. But when sin enters in, then there are times, it's like, is there a rock that God can create that God can't lift? All those ethical little hypothetical questions, you know, you could spend all day on them, but the idea is why bad things happen, why good things happen. It's like when God heals, it is in his will to heal. And there are times when there are things that are done that are, we talked about it, it's like God's permissive will. Sometimes God allows those difficulties and things to happen, and it's because, like, it's like salvation. You know, why did God make salvation come through Jesus Christ? Why couldn't just everybody be saved and everybody just go to heaven and everybody, God just pick us all up and take us all to heaven and have a rejoicing for the next, you know, eternity and not have anybody choose? Well, because then it wouldn't be love. See, love is a choice. When we choose to love God, it's one of those things where we have to understand it's a choice. And so remember that God can heal. Jesus can heal. Number four, the difference we make in the lives of those around us. When people saw the healed blind man, they praised God. The difference we make in those around us. Another thing we need to see is that God loves us. And I know I shared this already, but God loves you. God loves you. It's like no matter what you're going through, remember God loves you. Maybe you just need to say, do me a favor, say it right now to the person next to you. I know we all hate this sometimes, but to the person to your right or to your left, look at each other and say, God loves you. See, God loves you. Number six, we need to know, we need to see that we're not alone in making mistakes. See, Paul says this in Romans. In Romans 7:15, it says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. And what I hate, I do it. You're not alone. You're not the only one that makes mistakes. The scripture tells about salvation. It tells about restoration. It tells about reconciliation. You have to understand that we're not alone when it comes to making mistakes. We need to see that. And the last one, number seven, we need to see that the world around us needs Jesus too. We need to see that the world around us needs Jesus too. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus replied, and he says this. He says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. The world around us needs to see Jesus too. And this is a quote that I used before, and it's a pick here, and it's Helen Keller, you know, most famous blind person I know, and the story I'm sure you've heard of Helen Keller, and she says this, it says, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. It's like, I think about, like, what do you see? And that being observant and seeing the vision. It's like the vision that God has set before us, the vision that God has given us, is something that we can only see more clearly, again, the closer we get to God. The closer we get to God, the closer and the more observant we're going to be to see the things that God wants you to see. And sometimes it's things you need to see about yourself. Sometimes it's things you need to see about your environment. Sometimes it's things you need to see about others, because you need to see the people that are in need around you. And in order to help them and be used of God to serve God, you need to get close to God so you can see what He sees. We need to see the people that God wants us to see, the problems that God wants us to see, and the perspective from which God wants us to see the world around us. Sometimes there's barriers in life that keep us from seeing and believing in what God wants us to do, and sometimes it's just a lack of vision and understanding of the opportunities that God gives us. And we need to open our eyes and see what God wants us to see. The walk away is this. The walk away is this. It's a quote by Jonathan Swift. Vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others. Vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others. And it's like, I kind of feel like it's almost like this. It's like sometimes we look at each other and the world like this. Because if I try to see any one of you from a distance, you're kind of invisible to me. I'm not really seeing you. It's difficult to see much of you. I can see Matt's glasses and head, just part of it. I can see a little bit of, if I get it just right, I can at this distance see Selena's face, and she smiled. But if we get close to God, we can see everything He wants you to see. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. The prayer this morning is that we grow closer to God so we can see what God wants you to see. Maybe what you need to see is God's salvation. Maybe you've gotten saved in your life, and since then you've struggled to the point to where you've forgotten that joy. You've let go of that joy of your salvation. And what we need to pray for and ask God for is a renewal of spirit, and ask God to renew our hearts and renew our spirits so we can see what God wants us to see. And so we need to pray that God helps us to see Jesus for who He is. Pray that God helps us to see His salvation. Pray that God helps us to see that He can heal, that He is alone what we need, and that there are people around us that need to see Jesus too. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, and we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to gather together and worship You. God, I pray, Lord, that just in this moment, in this quietness of our hearts, Lord, if there is a need in our lives where we need to open our eyes to see, but we need to draw closer to You so that we can see. Maybe there's a problem in our lives that we need to see as You see. Maybe we need to take a look in the mirror, but instead of being so far away from that mirror that we have difficulty seeing, maybe we need to get that knothole effect. We need to get so close to You that, God, we can see the problem the way You see it and handle it and surrender it to You. And God, maybe it's an area of sin in our lives, Lord, that we need to surrender and yield to You so that, Lord, in our hearts, in our spirits, in our minds, we might see Your salvation and restore that joy in our lives. God, maybe, just maybe, it's somebody else in our lives we need to see. Maybe it's there's someone in need. Maybe it's there's a family member. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's just the lady in the Target parking lot that we need to see opportunities that You give us, or opportunities that we have to share You with them. And God, sometimes as Christians, we fail to see. So God, help us not to be people who have the sight but not the vision to see what it is You want us to see. God, work in our hearts this morning, even now, to draw us closer to yourself so that we can see through your eyes and see what you have us to see this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.